This is Truth with Grace, the media ministry of Grace Baptist Church. We're so pleased you've joined us today as we continue our exploration of the truth found in God's Word and the grace of salvation. Pastor Pierre Rosa is continuing his study of the book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament. We're in chapter 8, which begins a section covering the trumpet judgments. There are 7 trumpet judgments in all, but the first 4 are grouped together by the common theme of burning. We'll see this quite clearly as we discover just what this world would be like without God, without His power driving back the darkness of chaos. Whether we want to admit it or not, we need God, not just to keep the planet spinning, but also to save us from our sin. My name is Brian Schmidt, and I'll have more information for you at the end of this broadcast, so please stay tuned. But for now, let's listen to today's message from Pastor Pierre.
Well, some people say our society would be better off without God. They say God is not necessary to explain the creation of the universe. They say morality can be explained without God. But today's text that we're going to study in the book of Revelation shows us a time in the future when God disrupts His control of the universe. And again, it's a period of judgment that we're calling the trumpet judgments. And we're going to take the first 4 together. And we know the context here. Again, this is in the future after the church is no longer on the earth. We will have been raptured out of here in the twinkling of an eye. And in verse 5 of Revelation 8, we studied this verse last week, but just as a way of reminder, the Bible says this: the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. So we're going to look at this as a heavenly projectile, this fire from the altar that the angel threw to the earth. And this heavenly projectile will disrupt a lot of the basic elements of life here on earth because the fabric of the universe will be shaken one more time. And what that means is that we're going to see how much we depend on God for the very basic needs of life. And it'll be a great reminder for us that in Christ, all things hold together according to the book of Colossians 1 verse 17. It would be a chaos if, even for a second, God were not in control of the affairs of the universe. So with that in mind, let's read Revelation 8 starting in verse 6. And the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night the same way. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the 3 angels who are about to sound." So the first 4 trumpets here are separated from the last 3 because the last 3 are 3 woe judgments. We just read that. So the first 4, we're going to take them together. And what we're going to do is going to look at each one of the 4 trumpets, and we're going to look at the ammunition and the aftermath of those judgments from God. So the first one here in verse 7, the first trumpet, we're going to call this environmental collapse. The ammunition is this. Notice that the first angel, when he inaugurates the trumpet event here, it prompts a barrage of meteorites falling to the earth. Remember, it all started in heaven from the altar, like we just saw last week and in verse 5. the angel took fire from that altar, threw it to the earth. Well, that fire passed through the third heaven, which is the dwelling of God and the angels and all of that, and passed through the second heaven, which is outer space. And then it came into the first heaven, the atmosphere, that we call the atmosphere. And as it enters the atmosphere, it dissipated into hail and brimstone and fire. And John saw this as mixed with blood. Remember, this is his impression of watching this. He can't describe this because he's never seen anything like this. He read it in the Old Testament, some similar events, but he's trying to describe the indescribable. Again, this is nothing new from God here, the fact that he commands hail from heaven to destroy places on the earth. For example, you may remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis. They witnessed a rain of meteorites in the form of hail. And we know clearly that this is divine judgment. The Bible says the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So we know that everything comes from heaven, from the control room of the universe and God's throne. And we know that their problem was sexual immorality, and the Lord judged that. The second biblical example and precedent for this is ancient Egypt. They suffered a similar event. According to Moses, he stretched out his staff towards the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. And we know that this is one of the plagues, and the point here is for God to judge them for their sin of idolatry. So this is nothing new. God judging places on the earth. We have precedent for this in the Old Testament. The only difference here, the severity of this one will be unmatched. And this one is worldwide. Something that God had predicted a long time ago through the prophet Joel when he says, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. Now remember, in verse 5, the result of this fire coming down from the throne room in heaven by the hand of the angel, there was an earthquake. And by the way, earthquakes are very common in the tribulation here, as we see. We saw the big one in chapter 6, but this one is a result of divine judgment sending fire from heaven down to the earth. And certainly, this particular earthquake will result in volcanic eruptions. And as a result of that, lava will spill out on the sky and will mix with the hail falling from heaven. They will have the impression they will look like giant drops of blood. And that's what John is looking at here. Perhaps he's also looking at literal blood from birds on the sky that are being hit by those rocks, and maybe people from airplanes that will be bleeding. And he's seen the blood from that. During that time, we can only hope and pray that people will look at Scripture and they'll say, well, we're living a time of judgment. And hopefully they will get to know God and they will turn, for example, somebody will show them 2 Peter 3:9, where it says that God is not wishing for any to perish, but to come to repentance. And what a great opportunity for people during that time to repent of their sins, because the ammunition from God is fire and hail. That's the ammo from heaven that we looked at. But look at the aftermath. This will produce an environmental catastrophe never seen before, because a third of plant life will be incinerated and all of the grass will be burned up, the Bible says. Whole countries will be unable to produce food, and this will create a humanitarian crisis that we've never seen before. But the point here is this, to put the scene in perspective, imagine that everything in the Amazon rainforest burns up. Imagine if that were the case. Now, the Amazon forest produces 20% of the oxygen of the world, I'm told. Imagine if the region catches on fire. Imagine what's going to happen when that place burns up. The toxic smoke is going to dissipate not only through South America, but also North America. And people are going to die of suffocation, and animals are going to die. And what we see here, that God is clearly demonstrating to us how much we depend on Him for even the most basic elements of life, including clean air. Not only that, but nourishment from food. The food industries of the regions most affected by this are going to be devastated. But not only that, also our sense of beauty and aesthetics. There is a reason why we put a good premium on a well-maintained lawn. It's because we like to see green. We like to see grass. Well, the Bible says that all grass is going to be burned up. And God's point is this. People decided to live without me. People decided to live apart from me. I'm going to show them what it would be like if I to remove my control of the universe, even for a fraction of a second. People are going to wish during that time in the Great Tribulation, when the first trumpet sounds, people are going to wish that they had nutritious food to eat, clean air to breathe, and a beautiful landscape to enjoy. That's what we see in the first trumpet judgment here. But look at the second one. We're going to call this one nautical emergency. Verses 8 and 9. Remember, John has never seen anything like this. He didn't have access to the History Channel. He hasn't seen Armageddon, the movie. So he doesn't know what this is. He's trying his best to describe what he's seen. He's seen something like a mountain. It's not a mountain. It's something like a mountain hurling to the earth at a great speed that is ignited by the earth's atmosphere. And it hits one of the oceans. Now, remember something interesting here when we talked about the big earthquake that Revelation 6 describes here, that disrupts the orbits of several planets in the solar system, most likely. One of these planets will be Jupiter, probably because it functions as a vacuum cleaner and sucks up space debris and protects the Earth from these things. This is not in the Bible. Scientists have concluded that. Now imagine that Jupiter now is out of place and this asteroid then has free access to the Earth. To add to that, the fire from the altar that the angel threw here, according to this vision, to the Earth is going to accelerate the whole thing to go to the earth. Consider this as a warhead, a missile going to the earth. And the collision of this thing will be so violent, it will reshape the earth as asteroid impacts normally do. Take that asteroid, and if it's the size of a 20-story building, it will produce an explosion of 25 to 50 megaton of energy. Now, consider this. If something like a mountain, a space boulder a mile in diameter was to fall on the earth, the result will be catastrophic. If this thing hits New York City, everything from Washington, D.C. to Boston will be leveled. Anything miles from ground zero, nothing will survive. But that's not the case here, because this thing is going to hit the ocean, we see here. It's going for the sea. That's its aim. It'll produce tidal waves miles in height, and it'll devastate coastal cities. It'll devastate the economy, it'll devastate commerce, and all of that. So the ammo for this judgment is a giant meteor. But look at the aftermath. The waters will become red with blood. John sees this. Again, he's trying to describe something he's never seen before. So yes, he's describing blood from marine animals, of course, but possibly from people in submarines, in cruise ships, mixed with radiation from the rock from outer space, and also fuel from the ships. And the explosion would block sunlight for months. And as a result, the temperatures would drop and a bunch of people would die. Countries in the region of impact here will be so devastated that that their economy and their military power would be crippled. Now, if this asteroid here falls anywhere in the Pacific Ocean, it will cripple the economies of China, Japan, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the U.S., Mexico, Peru, and Chile. And these countries will be vulnerable for invasion because their naval power will be so devastated, which would facilitate the worldwide control of commerce and military by the Antichrist, which we'll see in a few weeks. And clearly, what God wants to show us here in this vision through John is how much we depend on Him for the most basic elements of life, namely, in this case, protection, transportation, and food, and safety. And God is saying, this is what it would be like to live without me. This is what it would be like if I remove my control, my sovereign control of the universe, and if Satan were to take over. Remember, Satan has control of the earth, but that control is restricted, and it's temporary. But during the Great Tribulation, God is setting the stage for Satan to have more influence in people through his puppet, the Antichrist. And just as survivors will start to make sense of this whole thing, God fires up another asteroid. And that's the third trumpet here. We're going to call this one fluvial poisoning. Fluvial has to do with rivers, because we know exactly what this is going to affect. This is in verses 10 and 11. The ammunition here, look at verse 5 again. The angel was going to throw the fire from the altar into the earth, and that thing is going to light up a comet. Remember, John doesn't know what a comet is. So he's describing something like a torch, a great star that fell from heaven burning like a torch. Now, let's not confuse this great star with the one in verse 1 of chapter 9, which says, "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth." That's a different deal. That one in chapter 9 is describing someone, a person. This one is not describing a person, even though we know its name. And the name of this comet slash asteroid, however we want to call this, is Wormwood, because of the effects of what it does when it hits the earth. And imagine this. This comet, this torch-like asteroid, the celestial body that's falling into the earth, hits the atmosphere and disintegrates in several different parts so that it can hit the mountains, the sources of fresh water, where rivers start. Now, wormwood is a plant that's used to make absinthe. It's a highly toxic substance. But the Old Testament associates wormwood with bitterness and also contamination and judgment. For example, Book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, says this, "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood." Talking about the fact that sin, in this case adultery, may be sweet in the beginning, may sound like a good deal, but look at the end of this, it becomes like wormwood, it becomes bitter. Why? Because that's the consequence of sin. And the fact that the name of this thing is in this vision and this somebody gives John this information is precisely the point. Sin is bad. And God is judging the world because of sin. See, in the beginning it may sound enlightening to say, we don't need God. In the beginning it may sound academic. You may sound progressive. You may sound even modern to say, we don't need God. But the Bible says God is going to show Himself very clearly to the world. And we, therefore, must acknowledge Him now. The Bible says very clear, the end is judgment. The end is not sweet. The end is bitter. Furthermore, let's look at another example here. The nation of Israel, God talked to them through the prophet Jeremiah and says this, concerning their sin of rebellion. "Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but have walked after the stubbornness of their heart, and after the Baals, as their fathers taught them. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them poisoned water to drink." And the point is very clear here. This is a graphic illustration, a graphic analogy of a spiritual reality. And that spiritual reality is this. Sin may sound good in the beginning. It may seem like it's the best option, but towards the end, it results in bitterness, in contamination even, and in judgment. Spiritually speaking, this is a picture of a spiritual reality. And maybe John remembered these passages from the Old Testament, but certainly he would have contrasted the contaminated waters that he's seen in this vision here with the revitalizing properties of the water of life, of the living water that the elder talks about that Jesus gives in chapter 7, verse 17 here. He says, "The Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life." So that's the ammo for the third trumpet here. The ammunition is a giant comet that plummets to the earth to contaminate the sources of fresh water. As a result, of course, people are going to die because that's one of the most basic elements of life is fresh water. You can't drink salt water. You can't drink water from the ocean unless you find a way to filter it, unless you find a way to make it fresh. But otherwise, what God is doing here is He's showing to the world, this is what it's like if I remove my control of the universe. Now, again, this is nothing new. God has done something similar in the past, only in a localized way. Only the effects of this one that we are seeing will be worldwide. For example, you may remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 20, that Moses lifted up his staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all of the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And the point of this plague here was that they worshipped the river. They worshipped the Nile as their source of life. For the same reason they worshipped the sun, same reason they worshipped the cows, the created order rather than the creator, and God was showing them, I am the creator of these things. And I'm showing them my power. So He's done this in the past. So hopefully, somebody during those days will open the Bible and will see, for example, in the Gospel of John, that Jesus talks about the fact that whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And they will see this and they will be like the woman at the well and say, well, give me that water. I need that water. And they will see the connection between the physical and their spiritual reality. And somebody, hopefully, we know that there will be preachers during that time. Somebody will show them John 7:38 when Jesus says, he who believes in me, as scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And they will understand the analogy just like we understand the analogy. Again, God is demonstrating to us how much we depend on him for the most basic element of life, in this case, water to drink, and obviously as it relates to a spiritual truth, in this case, living water. So the aftermath of this, the third trumpet is that the waters are going to become poisoned, but look at the fourth trumpet. We're calling this partial darkness, verses 12 through 13. The fourth trumpet brings about partial darkness. The ammo for that is that the fire from the altar, as it makes its way to the earth, it will move the sun out of its orbit so as to make it darken for at least a portion of it. And the shift in gravity will change the orbit of the moon, most likely, and the stars that are visible from the earth in a way that it will create some sort of a bizarre eclipse. Lunar versus solar, a mixture of the two. We're not sure because John is not sure what he's seen here because he's never seen this before. So he's trying his best to explain this. But this partial blackout will create a bizarre eclipse. And again, who is going to be doing this? God will. Maybe through the agency of this angel here, but God is the one who's ordaining all of this. Now again, incidentally, this is nothing new. God has brought about darkness, partial darkness to the world before. You may remember, again, one of the other plagues in Exodus, chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, the plagues in Egypt. The Bible tells us that God told Moses, stretch out your hand towards the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all of the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Look at that. Interestingly, a partial type of darkness in the land of Egypt, a localized act of judgment from the part of God. This one will be worldwide. That's the difference. The severity of this one will be worldwide. So the ammo for this judgment here is this bizarre, complicated to explain eclipse, a lunar and solar eclipse. But the aftermath is that daylight will be shortened. Again, this is nothing new. People in Alaska and in Antarctica know what this is all about. They go months without sunlight. That's not a problem for them. They know how to deal with that. Now, this one will be a little different because even people in the equator will notice. Maybe the tilt of the earth will be shifted because of all of these events. We don't know that for sure. We can only speculate. But remember, again, the whole fabric of the universe is going to be shaken. God is stretching out the universe like an old rag, the Bible says. It's all under his control. He's going to change everything to make a point. And the point is, you need me. He's saying, you need me because if I remove my control of the universe, look at what happened. God will show the world what it's like to not have his basic provisions. And he's demonstrating that very clearly here. People are going to suffer because of lack of vitamin D. Think about that. They're not going to have solar energy enough to run power plants or whatever. We're all going solar now. Well, not for long. How about warmth from the sun? Those of you who enjoy a sunny beach in Southern California or wherever you normally go here, maybe the coast here in the summer, not for long, according to the Bible. How about photosynthesis? That plants that are going to be burned up, they're going to eventually grow again. They're going to need photosynthesis in order to survive, for food to be produced. Again, the most basic necessities of life. And clearly what God is demonstrating is this. I am in control of everything. And this physical darkness here is emblematic of spiritual darkness, just like the waters that we looked at in the previous trumpet here. By rejecting Jesus Christ, people choose to live in darkness. Spiritual darkness. And God is demonstrating to them, this is what it's like to live in spiritual darkness and to not have the most basic provisions. Again, we can only hope and pray that somebody will show them the Gospel of John, for example, first chapter, verses 4 through 9, when the author says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Talk about being enlightened. You need to come to Christ. You really want to be enlightened? You want to really have an open mind and be seen as enlightened? Come to Jesus Christ.
As always, if you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@gbcsalem.org. And please visit our website, gbcsalem.org, for more information about our church, this media ministry, and how you can become a supporter of Truth with Grace. This broadcast is provided to you at no cost to the generosity of financial and prayer supporters of Truth with Grace. Please feel free to share it, but please don't charge money for it or edit it in any way without the written consent of Grace Baptist Church. Until next time, this is Truth with Grace.